This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I don't know what I love more, that clip or how much Lonzo giggles like a schoolgirl when he plays it every time.
You just giggled on the air.
I did.
I'm not embarrassed.
I absolutely giggle at it. Also, how am I worse today than I was yesterday?
I was just thinking the same thing because, by the way, you didn't sound like that in the office. What happened?
I honestly do not know. Maybe it's just I wasn't really trying in the office, you know?
Did you inhale radio dust on your way in or something?
We don't get paid hazard pay up in here.
We should, because there's a strange running van out in the parking lot that we're all a little concerned about.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not a concern.
It's not cool.
If it makes you feel better, it was not there when I got here. So it arrived sometime between 4:37 a.m. and whenever you walked in the door, I got here a little late today, about 4:37 a.m., it was not here, and now there's just a strange running van.
Don't take this wrong, but you don't appear to be situationally aware guy in the morning.
I am situationally aware.
We both
guy.
Know two people who are, one of which was having a little trouble walking, paying attention to it. Trust me,
There's a feller who shall remain nameless on our brother station, WORD, who tells Lonzo when he rolls up into the building.
So once you say the station, then you limit, I mean,
no,
you narrowed it down.
There's a staff of 60 people over there in the mornings,
There isn't.
Who tells Lonzo, right after Lonzo tells me, there's a suspicious running van parked right outside of the building, which, again, 99% of my life, I'm like, yeah, whatever, right? Whatever. But we work in radio, and it's a volatile industry, and we have all said stuff on the radio that has gotten us threats before. I have had twice in my career so far had to call the cops to a radio station because apparently, one time I insulted Nick Saban when he was the head coach at the University of Alabama, and that was just a bridge too far.
Roll Tide.
And I had a Bama fan show up at my old radio station down in Destin, Florida, threatening to, and I will quote him the best that I can, whoop your ass, Rob Brown.
Did he really?
He did not stick a Roll Tide on the end of it, which I was a little disappointed by.
Did he have the Alabama accent?
Oh, yeah, thick. All right. You got to keep in mind, the Florida Panhandle, we call it L.A., is in Lower Alabama.
Okay.
My man wrote up and said, I'll whip your ass, Rob Brown. And I was like, and close and lock this door right back. And he wouldn't leave. Stayed right at the door screaming through it. Suspicious van in the parking lot, to which one of our coworkers tells Lonzo, did you see the van? Lonzo's like, yeah. He goes, you might want to check your car. And I'm like, uh-oh, is guy out there walking around? Do we have it now? We gone from suspicious van to suspicious man rolling around in the parking lot. And he goes, because while I was looking at the van, I walked straight into your car. And this is not a small individual. He's not big. He's just big and tall. And he tells Zoe, I was watching the suspicious van, and I may or may not have given your smart car a running flying knee on the way by. Oops, my bad.
It's and a coffee shower. That was you gotta.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Even better.
He spilled his coffee. So he's like, so you'll notice spilled coffee around your car. It was me. I'm like, okay.
Plenty of kids is what happened.
You try to play it cool, but you really want to run out and check and make sure the car's not damaged.
Yeah, but there's a suspicious van.
But there's a suspicious van. Yeah. So I'm not running out to check.
Our day's off to a whale of a start with a suspicious running van.
Hey, listen. You know, it's a dangerous world we live in. In some cases, I'm only slightly making light of that.
Danger is my middle name.
And if we were on music stations, I wouldn't be nearly as concerned.
No. Again, let's see. I've had two. I had Bama guy who got mad. You know what? I remember exactly what I... Let me tell you what this guy got mad at me for. This would have been like 2012, 13, something like that. And I was doing a remote... I was not doing a remote. I was in the studio when this one happened. The remote was the other one. I was in the studio when this happened, and I was doing my night show. I did a show for 3 years from 9 p.m. to midnight on my old station down in the Florida Panhandle. It was the Hooters Sports Show. You'll notice that I did the Hooters Sports Show. Hooters was fine. I left the Hooters Sports Show. They went right into bankruptcy. So I was doing the show this night.
So what you're saying is all those people who enjoy Hooters wings and you know, scenery should blame you.
I'm quite the opposite.
Now we know why the van's out in the parking lot.
Hooters could have kept me on the payroll. They'd have probably been okay. So I was doing the Hooters Sports Show. It was like 10:45 at night or so. And I did the show by myself. I was the only one who did it, right? Like I produced, I edited, I hosted, I did everything. And so in the station at night from 9 to midnight, I was the only person in the building. And it got to be, I don't know, 10, 15 or so at night. And we were talking, it's the middle of the football season, we were talking Alabama football. And I said something that I've been saying ever since, which was Nick Saban was not a great game day coach. He was not a great Saturday coach. Nick Saban did not beat you on Saturday with great tactics and manipulation. Nick Saban beat you in February by, at the time, just dominating the recruiting landscape. And he beat you in the springtime by having his team so well-trained, so well-disciplined that any little tiny mistake, the wrong half a step, the wrong splits by your offensive line, and Bama was going to beat you, and you know those stack up for wins. But he's not a great game day coach. And I pointed out that there were plenty of good football coaches who out-coached Nick Saban with the X's and O's. He just had him beat in terms of having a better team and took advantage of that. Well, we had a, similar to the station here, we had a doorbell that, the door was always locked. And so when you push this doorbell, there was an app on our phone that let us know somebody was at the door. And so I got a little ding on my phone that said somebody was at the doorbell, which was unusual, but not out of the blue because, like, you know, I would order food to be delivered sometimes. I'd have a pizza delivered during the show or every now and then because our radio station was like 2 blocks over from the primary Hooters, the guy that owned the franchises down there, he was the one that sponsored the show. He would occasionally like just send a Hooters girl with wings over to the studio, right? Just I'd randomly the doorbell would ring at 10:30, 11, and there'd just be a Hooters girl delivering the wings. If I told you it wasn't like three of the greatest years of my life, I'd be lying to you. Okay. So
I think there are a lot of people in the audience asking why you left.
It was not my choice, I promise. If you're telling me I could have done a show from 9 to midnight for my entire life where Hooters girls just randomly showed up with wings and beer to my radio station, yeah, I'm going to do that forever. So the little bell goes off, and I assume it's, you know, it's one of my Hooters girls showing up. My favorite was Annie. And it wasn't. It was just some
dude.
She
have red hair?
She did not.
Okay.
She was a classic American blonde, about 6'2", smoke show. So, but it was not. So... I look.
It's
at
probably
the
common in Florida, right?
It's not. I grew up next to the beach, man. So I look on my little app, and it's just this guy. It's just this dude. But again, Stewart, who was the owner of those franchises, great dude. Stu would just send over anybody from the restaurant sometimes, right? It was usually a Hooters girl, but sometimes he'd send a, you know, a GM or whoever, and he would drop food off for me. So I'm like, all right, let me go see who this is. Probably some Hooters wings for dinner. Probably a little shrimp po' boy from the Hooters for dinner. And I go down there and I open the door. Well, fortunately, this guy, I guess he had given up and he was going back to his car. So I open up the door and I put my head through and I'm like, can I help you? And he goes, you Rob Brown? And I was like, yes, sir. And he turns and he starts walking back to the door and he's like, I'm going to whip your ass. And I was like, oh, click, lock the door. And it was like a, you know, one of the big, thick glass industrial doors. But he walks back and he starts like pounding his fist on the door. And I was like, what can I help you? And he goes, Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time. I'm going to whip your ass. I was like, oh, okay. So I walk back upstairs and I'm like, you know, if this guy breaks the door down, I'm probably SOL, but like, whatever, you know? So I go back upstairs and then on our little doorbell thing, every time you hit the doorbell, it sent another notification to the system that somebody was ringing it. Then my phone, this guy stood down there for a solid 15, 17 minutes, just hammering the doorbell. Now they knew that I was there. So eventually I had to call the cops and let them know what was going on. They came. I don't know what happened. They called me later and they were like, hey, the guy's, he's left. He promised us he wasn't coming back. And I was like, okay, what next? And they go, call us if he comes back. Oh, for sure. You do know I don't live here. I have to leave at some point, right? So that night, it got to be about 12:30. It was time to go. Lonzo, I, first off, was like James Bonding running surveillance around the whole parking lot before I went to the car. And then when it was time to get to the car, I ran a 40 faster than Cole Bryson to get to my car to get up out of there.
That's fast.
Yo, I was hauling. Smoke coming off the back of the heels. So that was the one time. The other time that we had an issue, also connected to the Hooters Sports Show, I was doing a show on Pensacola Beach, Florida. And there's a Hooters right on the beach in Pensacola Beach. So I was doing a show. It was for one of the bowl games. It was, I think, BCS era. It was one of the BCS games. And we were live on location, and there was a there was a young lady who worked at the Hooters who I had been spending some time with, just a little bit of time with. And while we were doing the show, whenever I was on location, Stu, who was, again, the guy that owned the place, he would always pick the Hooters girl with the most riz from whatever show we were doing the remote, or whatever station, restaurant we were doing the remote from, and he would make her my official Hooters co-host for the night. Right. So he would just get, he would pick whatever girl had the most personality and he would give her a headset and she would be my co-host for the night. Didn't matter if they knew sports or not. It was just about let cute girl giggle in the microphone to get the fellas to come out. And it worked like a dream. Well, he picked this girl that I had kind of like, I say that making myself sound like a sleazeball. I had literally gone on like 3 dates with this girl and I thought it was going very nice. And this guy shows up about halfway through the remote. She's on the air with me and he starts screaming at me that I was with his girl. And eventually the GM of the restaurant had to come out and like, not escort this guy, like pick this guy up and leave him, or tail him out of the restaurant, like carry him out of the restaurant. And I looked at this girl and I was like, yo, what the hell was that? And she goes, this guy comes in like once a day and he buys a few $100 in beer and wings and whatever. And he always tips me 100% and he calls me his girlfriend. And we just found out he legitimately thinks I'm his girlfriend, like literally thinks I'm his girlfriend. So now he's been just showing up at random times. And anytime that I'm interacting with a dude, he's like, oh, you're talking to my girl. This is not the first time this happened. I was like, oh, all right. Well, I went to leave and this dude was still hanging around in the parking lot and the Pensacola PD had to pick him up and like take him away. And she had to file a restraining order against him. It was wild. But those are the only two times I've ever like legitimately had an issue on the radio. I'm a whoop your ass, Rob Brown.
Yeah, well, I just come from a really bad neighborhood, so I'm just naturally suspicious everywhere I go.
I mean, that's fair.
But it's not like it's a minivan sitting out there. It's
a van that if you were going to show up and try to catch somebody slipping, you'd drive this van.
It's an extended van with tinted windows. You can see it if you just take a step. It's right there.
Is that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. It's right there.
You know what this is going
to
be. This
perfect spot to do something. Someone's coming through the door. We recently had some employees no longer with us. There's unrest going on with other radio shows.
Unrest?
Well, there was a murder happened with someone who worked at another media place. Not here.
Oh, I was like, what the hell?
Not here, but still.
I kind of feel like I'd have gotten an email about that.
No, not here, but still. So I mean, you know, in current climates, well, any climate, you should be suspicious.
Oh, listen, this
early in the morning, something, and you know, when I got out, I was a little suspicious, but the fact that it was running, you know, I'm around keeping an eye on it while I'm in my car getting my stuff out and rushing my hobbling booty up to the door and getting in.
The wife tells me all the time that I need to be more tuned in and skeptical of my surroundings, because I am a
situationally aware. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, again, I'm situationally aware. I never, ever, ever assume that anything bad is going to happen. Like, and I acknowledge that, like, it could probably be a problem. I'm not.
Which is weird, considering your outlook on life. I mean, you would think that would be part of it too.
It never comes into my brain. Like, there are times in play. Now, if it is like, if it's at work, and we get the, you know, fellas come to my office after the show. Yeah, I'm getting fired, right? Like, I'm worst case scenario. But if we're out and about, there is one time and one time only that I ever have that plan. And that's when I sit at a restaurant. For whatever reason, my brain, and I know what the reason is. It's because I got it from my dad. My dad taught me this. It was always know your exit strategy. Here's the thing. I don't do that in any other building I'm ever in. I've never walked into a bank, which is far more likely to have a situation result where I need an immediate escape plan. I've never walked in a bank and like clocked my exits. I've never walked into a shopping mall, probably far more likely to have an incident than a restaurant. I've never walked in a shopping mall and been like, okay, emergency exits located next to the Forever 21 and the TJ Maxx.
So here, do you know where all the exits are?
Yeah, I do, but that's only because I've been in this building 5 years
now.
Do
you know where the hidey places are if you need to hide?
Yeah, I think I would. Okay. I think I'm good. But that's more just like seeing them throughout the day, right? Like if we were to leave here and go down to the mall to go pick up some cool new wrestling t-shirts or whatever,
which is exactly what we do, you know, once a week.
Most days. I've been to that mall. I've been to the Haywood Mall 100,000 times since I moved here. I have no idea. I have to remind myself every time I go in there where the bathroom is. Which is by the food court, by the way. But like,
there's more than one.
That's the one I know. I probably walked past two to get to that one because that's the one I know.
There's one back where I think Forever 21 used to be, and there used to be a nerd shop down
there. That does nothing for me. That's every time I need to know where
the play area. Do you know where the play area is?
I do, because it's so loud.
Yeah, okay.
It's so unnecessarily loud.
It's right past that, there's restrooms.
All right, we got a lot we got to get to on the radio program today. Shout out to the Terriers of Wofford.
What a game.
Good God, what a game last night. That was, I can't definitively say that was the best college basketball game that I've watched so far this year, but
By the way,
I can tell you it's in the top five.
That's what a college basketball game should look like.
I mean,
and the most pretty threes you've seen, I mean, both teams, when those threes were hitting, they were so smooth.
The last 9 minutes of the game, the Nets were on fire. That was unbelievable. I watched that game tip to final last night, and the last 8 minutes, I was in the middle of doing something, and the last 8 minutes, the wife was like, hey, why'd you stop? And I was, not that.
All right,
show.
Dude,
okay, not that.
Dude,
not that.
Mean,
not
I mean,
that.
Think of what you just did.
Listen.
That's on you.
Stop it. We're going on vacation. We were helping to get the house. I was helping to get the house cleaned up because we're having somebody come house sit for us. And I was cleaning up stuff. And then I stopped to watch basketball. She's like, why did you stop cleaning up the house? And I was like, because this game is absolutely electric right now. The Rob Brown Show, the fan of state, whatever.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this a long time. And like, once a blue moon, you say something that before you're done saying it, your brain goes,
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
And that's what just happened.
This is up there for me with my COVID promo. I don't know if you remember about how it's being tested.
Oh yeah, said, yeah. All time.
Yeah, I will always remember that.
It
was so dumb that I said it. It's like, oh no.
We were, I'm not even going to go back to it. If you heard it, you heard it. And if you didn't, it's going to be a commercial in 10 minutes. So stay tuned. Stay listening. You'll hear it.
Well, I'm not that fast, but it'll be up, though, eventually.
Shout out to the Wofford Terriers. Shout out to the Furman Paladins and the Wofford Terriers, because I'm a college basketball fan and you know, I'm a college basketball fan from the start of the holiday tournaments all the way up through, you know, one shining moment.
And see, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, this is on. I need to watch this because I know we're going to be talking about it. And it's like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is really good. Oh, they had a big lead. Oh, they're going to win. Oh, no, they're not going to win. Wow. So, I mean, it was good shooting. There's a bunch of non-calls by the referees, by the way.
But they let the boys play.
The threes were pretty. I mean, it sounds like the crowd was good. I'm not quite sure what they were chanting. You can tell me later. I have some ideas.
I don't fully know.
Okay.
Cole and Diesel were up there. They did Wire to Wire live from,
I think Cole was just there,
the arena. Oh, yeah. I thought they both were. Yeah. Either way, Cole was putting up some videos on X last night, and from what I could tell, the crowd, I'm going to tell you this, the crowd was electric enough, I'm going next year, regardless of who's playing in it. I hope it's Wofford and Furman every single year forever, because I got to tell you, you know, we talk about rivalries in sports, and I've heard the Wofford-Furman rivalry, and, you know, every now and then we'll get a Terrier fan or a Paladin up in here that's like, Rob Brown, you got to. And I've done a couple of games. Like, I've called a couple of Furman-Wofford games in both arenas over on the over for the Furman folks when Dan Scott's been doing football games and stuff. I filled in on a couple of Furman games. I've been to Wofford a couple of times. They invited us. They were kind enough last year to invite us out for a game in a day. Beautiful gym. I mean, gorgeous gym for Wofford. And I've seen the rivalry up close and personally. But last night was the rivalry with a ticket to the dance on the line. With a ticket to March Madness on the line last night. The SoCon is a one-bid league. The winner of that conference goes to the dance. The silver medalists don't.
No chance of Furman gets
zero. Okay. None. The SoCon does not get two bids. It would take two teams, like both of them having one loss and both of their one loss being to each other in the regular season, and then having another game last night in the conference tournament, and it would take a down year. Because, like, there's going to be probably, I think, 13 Southeastern Conference teams that make the tournament. I have heard the lowest estimation I've heard from the bracketologists is 11. The majority of them seem to say 12. I think they'll be 13 in. We'll find out after the SEC tournament this weekend. But it would take probably the specialists of special years for the SoCon to get two teams in. It's effectively every year the winner goes and the silver medalist, no matter who it is, goes home. And so Wofford gets in, Furman will not. And it was that game that separated. First off, credit to Wofford, because in the late second half of that game with about 9 minutes left to play, Bob Ritchie, I thought, did something genius. Bob Ritchie was using the length that he has to run kind of a 1-3-1, but to me it was really more like a 1-1-2-1. Like, he had his winger set back a little bit, so he had a point man on D, hit a guy at the free throw line running extended left and right. Then his two wingers in the 1-3-1 were kind of dropped back, I don't know, 2 feet, to kind of guard the corners a little bit and basically say, you're not going to get corner threes off on us, right? Like, if you're going to attack the basket, we're going to limit your angle of attack from the point to the free throw line extended in. We're going to create a triangle. You can attack that triangle, and we're going to be able to collapse guys on you, but you're not going to get corner threes. And whatever side the ball was on, big man down low on the bottom half of that 1-3-1 would shade that direction so that the winger could kind of stay out, and that man could step up to fill the gap if there was a drive. Backside wing would come down to the block. Like, it was fundamentally sound 1-3-1 basketball out of Furman. And there was a run there where Wofford couldn't figure it out. There was a run there where Wofford was just panicky, and they gave Furman a couple of turnovers. Furman was able to convert on the other end. All of a sudden, Furman finds himself up 4, 6, 8, and it's like, okay, the Dens are going dancing again. And then Wofford came back down, and the offense changed up a little bit. Instead of trying to attack that 1-3-1 and doing so from a traditional sense of find the hole, drive in, and knowing that Furman was collapsing on, I don't want to say unorthodox angles, but kind of a creative way of collapsing the 1-3-1 to the ball pressure, Wofford started attacking with numbers on one side, basically removed the backside defender from the equation. They're like, okay, we know it's going to get cramped over here. We know there's going to be extra dudes over here, but we're going to have another dude. We're going to have one more dude in this area, because if that backside winger comes over to help, then it's a skip and a three, and we're knocking down threes tonight. Wofford was, 14 of 28. They were shooting 50% from the arc last night. So basically, it was, we're going to run the offense to one side of the floor. We're going to bring everybody to one side. If that winger decides he's going to come over and collapse, we're going to have that three. So we're going to have the big man playing on the block. We're going to have their winger set in the corner, and we're going to have three that are kind of all attacking from that triangle they're giving us. So effectively, it creates a 3-on-2 triangle on that side of the ball, or on that side of the court, and it started working. And then Furman kind of got out of sorts a little bit, and that's where Wofford was able to kind of run away late in this game. We got to give a ton of credit to Furman for making it a game, but I think you got to give a ton more credit to what Dwight Perry and the Terriers were doing last night. because it took them a second to kind of figure out, to kind of feel out. And this is basketball. This is what coaches get paid for. When Furman dropped to that 1-3-1 or started that kind of modified 1-3-1 that they were running, it took Wofford 2-3 possessions up and down the floor to kind of figure out what they were doing differently that created that chaos, and Wofford responded. And they deserve a ton of credit for that. So, like I said, I was the lady and I are going on vacation. We have got a couple of friends that are coming to house sit for us while we're gone. And so we were cleaning up the house a little bit, you know, just getting everything picked up so we could vacuum and dust and all that, because, you know, you got to clean up if people are coming to the house. That's what adults do. So we were cleaning up the house, and I had the game on in the Bro Cave. And so I'm like back there, and I got the game on in the background as I'm kind of cleaning up and vacuuming the floor. And I look up at one point, and there's just a run happening. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to have myself a little din-din, heat up a little dinner here, and I'll use this as a little 15-minute break. Sat down, ate the dinner, and then I was just locked in. I wasn't coming out the chair. At one point, the wife looks in, and she's like, hey, are you done? I was like, no, I'm done for right now. She's like, why? I was like, this game is absolutely electric. She's like, who's playing? Furman Wofford. She's like, oh, okay. She came in the room. She sat on the couch. She's like, all right, I'll eat a little snack while we're taking a break. I said, great. She sat on the couch. We sat there and watched almost the entire second half of that game, just like enthralled. That was spectacular basketball. I got a buddy of mine, Chris, who was on Twitter, and he shot me a tweet last night where he's like, yo, YouTube TV on the multibox has been elite with all the mid-majors going on. And I told him what I've said for a long time. The best basketball you will watch is mid-major basketball. It may not be the most talented basketball. You may not see a ton of NBA future stars out there, but mid-major basketball, if you are one of the folks that's listening to guys like Dan Hurley talking about how the game is changing and it ain't necessarily for the better, if you're one of those folks that's talking about how college basketball is being ruined by NIL and the portal and all that, get your ass over to these mid-major tournaments. Because that Furman-Wofford game was one of a handful that went on last night. Pepperdine St. Mary's was a great game last night. I watched a bunch of that. St. Mary's was able to run away kind of late in the game. Delaware Towson, 10-point win for Delaware, and it was kind of the same thing, like just an electric back-and-forth game. I had the Bro Cave with three, or the big TV in the Bro Cave with three games on. I had one laptop. I went and got my work laptop out of my backpack to open it up to have another screen. I had all the mid-major basketball on last night, and it was spectacular. UNC Wilmington over College of Charleston, 68-67. They win the Coastal Athletic. They're going dancing. And I guess that's like, to me, it's true about the mid-major tournaments at large. But when you get to the last couple of days where it's championship games, and a lot of these little teams, like, this is their only shot to go play a game in March. You have to win this game. It does not, like, it sucks for some of them, but it doesn't matter what you do. You could go undefeated in the regular season. Your only shot to go play basketball in March against the big dogs in the dance is to win these games. And Furman Wofford showed you exactly what that looked like last night. Showed you exactly how that felt last night. Wofford shot 50% from behind the arc, 54% from the field, 26 of 48. You had 20 from Jackson Sevillis. You had 19 from Justin Bailey. Here's the thing. Furman didn't have a bad night. 40% from three, 13 to 33. They were 27 of 56 for just over 48% from the floor. That's good enough to win you a lot of games. But Wofford last night just came out with dun, 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 the eye of the tiger, man. Like, that was a phenomenal basketball game. Credit to Wofford. Credit to Bob Ritchie for rolling a Rubik's Cube of a defense out there. And credit to Wofford for figuring it out and getting that run. That was the most entertained I have been by college basketball so far this season. And I have been thoroughly entertained by college basketball this season. Alabama-Auburn this weekend was pretty dope, too. Alabama winning on the walk-off J. Oh, man. College basketball is just peak right now. Speaking of, talk a lot of college basketball because the Power Four conference tournaments starting today. A lot of teams over the next few days are going to be playing for their postseason lives. So we'll get you set up for that. We got a flurry of NFL news. Sam Darnold has landed. Justin Fields has a new team. We're going to get to all of it on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Wofford Terriers will now wait to find out who it is they will get matched up with in round number one of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Tournament. Of course, part of that is going to be waiting to find out who the winners of the conference tournaments will be, who's going to be going on with some more AQs from the mid-majors, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to keep you up to date with college basketball throughout the day today. The big-time tournaments getting underway. We got three games in the Atlantic Coast Conference coming up today. We will open the ACC tournament live from the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the Pittsburgh Panthers taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Cal and Virginia Tech at 4:30. Syracuse and Florida State will fight at 7 p.m. tonight. Over in the Southeastern Conference, who I've said a couple times, I'll say again, are having the single best year that any one conference has had in any one season, in any one sport in basketball. Will start their tournament tomorrow. South Carolina will open the tournament at 1 p.m. at Arkansas. Texas and Vanderbilt will play at 3:30. 7 o'clock, LSU and Mississippi State. OU at Georgia at 9:30. That tournament taking place at the Bridgestone Arena in Nash Vegas, Tennessee. So we'll keep you up to date with these tournament brackets as they evolve moving forward. Let's get to some National Football League. Nerd, my voice cracked.
I know.
Fighting for my life over here.
I know. That's
fighting for my life over here.
You sound like 12-year-old Rob, probably.
I love the National Football League. I turned into like a damn cartoon parody there for a second.
You're like that odds kid from the commercials. And almost everything that he said on those commercials didn't turn out to be true in real life.
Well, actually. All right, we got a couple of big time stories that kind of kicked off the NFL free agent. Legal tampering is what we call it.
Oh, you're gonna start off with the Chiefs getting a tackle, right?
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. That's
the big news. Because I heard on the show before us that Josh Allen will win more Super Bowls than Patrick Mahomes in the next 5 years.
That's a hot take. I said yesterday, like for all of the heat they have taken, I think anybody writing off the Kansas City Chiefs' ability to rebound is, let's say, premature at best. Look, they got beat in the game. It just happened to be the one game they didn't want to get beat in the most. It happens. It's a Super Bowl. It ain't easy. Even Tom Brady lost a couple of them. So, Seattle Seahawks have found their replacement. They have agreed to a 3-year, he's still got that $100 million deal. 3-year, $100.5 million deal with former Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold. $55 million of it guaranteed. I think that is where
It's a great story, man. It really is. How he started out and he was supposedly washed and there was no chance. And then he went a couple other places, still no chance, was a backup for a year, then went to Minnesota, had that kind of year, proved himself. And he may go to Seattle and absolutely stink it up. But
I mean, he's going to Seattle. He's got Jackson Smith and Jigba, but their two biggest receiving threats aren't Seahawks anymore. So they got, this is why this move is interesting to me. There's a couple of different angles. First is the Sam Darnold story. Man goes to the New York Jets, dumpster of a franchise, right?
Saw ghosts.
Legendary story. We still talk about it. Goes to the Jets. The Jets are just a bad franchise. I don't know if they fixed it or not. For Justin Fields' sake, I hope that they have. We're going to talk about him coming up in a couple of minutes. Goes to the Jets. Doesn't work out. Leaves the Jets. Ends up with the Panthers. Dumpster fire of a franchise. Doesn't work out. And remember, I was saying when Sam Darnold was here, was in the Carolinas, I was like, guys, like I'm not evaluating Sam Darnold's career at this point because I feel like we throw quarterbacks into the dumpster because they're in a dumpster. It is as much, if not more so, about the franchise than the quarterback. Carolina at the time was a dumpster fire of a franchise. So he moves on. He goes out to San Francisco, California, spends a year under Shanahan learning in the 49ers system. There for a season, gets a little bit of minimal PT, gets shipped up to Minnesota last year, 14-3 in the regular season. But the reason this story remains interesting is very simple. Because as much as 14-3 is an impressive regular season, with what happened to Kirk Cousins, and again, even the Kirk Cousins story is up in the air, because Kirk Cousins played above average football for 8 weeks, and then he just kind of fell off a cliff. The Falcons don't say anything about it in the regular season. After the season is over, Kirk goes out and says, actually, in week 10, I got hit. My shoulder and my elbow were messed up, and they never were 100%. But either he didn't tell anybody or the Falcons didn't know it or whatever happened. So then the question mark is, okay, did Kirk Cousins look great in Minnesota because the Vikings made him look great? Or did he look great in Minnesota because he's actually really good and that injury is genuinely what screwed him up? And the reality is, I don't think anybody can know that. We can speculate at best. My speculation is Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins both benefited by playing inside of the Kevin O'Connell system with an incredible set of skill position players around them that were able to lift them up to be better than they are, which, fine, that's great. If you can go find a quarterback that you can pay the way the Vikings paid Kirk Cousins, which was a lot of money, but it wasn't like record-breaking contracts, or paid Sam Darnold, which was, again, a healthy chunk of change, but not anywhere close to record-breaking, and you can get two guys that can carry you to, you know, NFC North titles are close to it, great. Good for you. That's part of having a great coach and a great GM in Minnesota that have been able to put that together for you. But we don't know. I don't think we know what Sam Darnold is. My speculation is, much like Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold's going to go to Seattle and he's going to be Sam Darnold again. He's going to be fine. He's not going to blow you away. He's not going to stink. He's just going to be whatever. He's going to be fine. The problem is, unlike Minnesota, Seattle doesn't have the Jeffersons and the Hawkinsons and all these great players out there. They got some good players, but again, they went from having Lockett and Metcalf as your XY to having Jaxon Smith-Njigba, which is, again, a good young developing player, but I wouldn't be comfortable making the argument that he has proven yet that he is, Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. They got Kenneth Walker III, who was banged up last year. They got Zach Charbonnet, who is, again, a guy that has showed up in some role spots, but how much of that was him being a great player and how much of that was having the benefit of having Metcalf and Lockett on the outside to open up spots on the field for him? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get out of the Seahawks team. I don't know what we're going to get out of Sam Darnold. I don't think he's worth $100 million. I think the Seahawks have a lot of building left to do, and they just handed a quarterback a $100 million deal. Like, that's a big chunk of cap, a big chunk of your cap. I'm having an issue right now because the Saints have gone full Saints again, and in fairness, you kind of have to. They extended Derek Carr. You know what it would cost us to cut Derek Carr next year? $59.5 million against the cap. He is our quarterback for two more years unless somebody wants to pick him up in a trade.
He was a Hall of Famer. I'm confused.
Yeah, smartass Rob makes an appearance on the radio every now and then. Okay. Just so we're very clear, there's never been a point in time where I've thought Derek Carr's going to the Hall of Fame.
Wait, you weren't serious?
Yeah, I know. Shocking.
You're really good at this.
I know. We've won awards. On one hand, do I think Derek Carr is the guy that's leading us to the promised land? No. On the other hand, doesn't really freaking matter. Doesn't really matter at all.
We suck!
Because we just don't have the talent to get there. So, I mean, I guess at the end of that, it shouldn't really matter. But Derek Carr's on a contract now that if we cut him in the next year, it's $59.5 million against the cap to not have him on the roster.
We re-signed Chase Young. That was a good move.
This is a good move. I'm not unhappy about that. Problem is, we're just kicking the can on our cap rotation down the year. Like, this would have been the year to just blow it up and re-end, and reload, rebuild, whatever. But put all that to the side. Let's stick with where we were. I'm kind of looking at this with Sam Darnold, and I'm like, you just gave Sam Darnold a deal that's in line with what the Saints are giving Derek Carr right now. You're locking up $60-ish million of your cap for Sam Darnold. If he ain't the guy, right, how are you going to rebuild with that contract on the line? I honestly, I'll tell you who won yesterday. Who won yesterday was the Jets with a two-year $40 million deal to Justin Fields, 26-year-old, two-year $40 million contract, $30 million in guarantees. You got, I don't know, 40% of the cap locked up in Justin Fields on a 26-year-old guy that I think the jury is still out on. I mean, I guess to some degree the jury is still out on Sam Darnold. I fully admit that a year from now, unless I get fired, I could be standing in the same spot talking into the same microphone and going, Sammy D, that's my bad, dog. Turns out you are him. A year from now, I may have to eat some crow medium rare and apologize to Sam Darnold. We'll see. But if he ain't the guy, $100 million is a lot of money to lock up in a cat. Justin Fields is a guy that I don't know if he's going to be the guy. What I do know is the Jets are still one more year away from being a legitimate contender to me. With the loss of everybody that's taken off, with the full franchise reboot, and if everything is true that after Aaron Glenn told Aaron Rodgers that he would no longer be the guy, the story was that like half the locker room was ticked off about it and half the locker room was happy about it. If that locker room is that divided, and they got a first-year head coach, and they got the issues they have with an owner and a GM, and the Jets are a couple of years away. But with a guy like Justin Fields, that's great because now I've got a year to evaluate if I truly believe he's a franchise QB. And if the answer is yes, he is, great. I got him locked up for a second year, and the opportunity to give him that extension is right there. We can figure it out then. Right now, I can go retool. I got money in the bank to go retool this football team with. I like what the Jets did yesterday, bringing in a 26-year-old who hasn't been a starter in a couple of years, who sat the pine not all of last year, but a chunk of the second half of last year. I am glad to have Justin Fields on 2 years, 40 with 30 guaranteed, more than having Sam Darnold locked up for $100 million over 3 years with 55 guaranteed. I think the Jets had a better day yesterday, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that I think Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. I'm saying I think Justin Fields has a higher ceiling than Sam Darnold. I think Justin Fields, at least I'm hoping for Justin Fields' sake, that having some time last year, losing the job to Russell Wilson, being inside of I'll allow the word successful about Pittsburgh. As we pointed out, actually, I don't think I gave you the stat yesterday. You know, in the history of the NFL, there's only one coach that stayed active with a longer playoff win drought than Mike Tomlin? Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis is the only coach who stayed active in the league with a longer drought between playoff wins than Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff win since, what we decided yesterday, 2016?
Yeah, but see, that's one of those weird stats because Tomlin is one of the guys who's actually stayed with the same team for a really long time.
Yeah, how's that going for him?
But still, I'm just saying, it's of course it's going to look bad on him that he hasn't done it because he's been there for a really long time. When some coaches make it 3 years, and then they're out, well, or they move again, on to something
that's,
else.
That's why that stat stands out, because what it says is the Steelers have elected to continue rolling with a head coach who has now got the longest spacing between playoff wins.
Yeah, but the Steelers have only had, what, three or four coaches in the history of their franchise.
Right. The point here is, like, do you want to, if you're the Steelers, do you want to stand on, well, you know, our franchise doesn't fire head coaches. Doesn't matter if they go 16 years between winning playoff games. We don't fire our guys. Or do you want to actively be looking for a head coach who's going to come win a playoff game for you? Because I got to tell you, like, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm watching everybody else get better. And it's been since 2016 that we won a playoff game, like, and we're not making a change.
Which would you, this guy, it parallels Dallas to a degree. Would you rather be a Dallas fan or a Steelers fan?
Neither. Right now, neither. Like, that's the point. The point is, I don't want to be a fan whose, like, chief silver lining is at least we're not Dallas, right? Like, I'm not hanging a banner for we're not Dallas. I might make a poster that says at least we're not Dallas. That'd be funny.
Yeah, we'll see how long that poster
Poor Cole. The Steelers aren't going to start next season going up and hanging a banner that says, yeah, it's been since 2016, but like at least we're not the Dallas Cowboys. Like, fix it. But the point here is, going back to where we were talking about these two quarterbacks, I like the Jets grabbing Justin Fields more than I like the Seahawks grabbing Sam Darnold. And you're going, wait a minute, Rob, Sam Darnold went 14-3. I understand what happened in the last two games. He got hammered by Detroit. They threw a little extra pressure, and he looked like Jets Sam Darnold again. They go into the playoffs, and they get run off the field in the very first game because he looked like Sam Darnold again. Once teams clued in and started attacking Sam Darnold, which, frankly, I just don't think they did in the regular season, then all of a sudden he just looked like Sam Darnold again. And the Seahawks just paid that guy $100 million to come in and quarterback a team that now does not have their best two wide receivers anymore. And they paid him so much to do it, I don't think that they are a threat to land any of the big-name free agent wide receivers that are going to be available. Who the hell is Sam Darnold throwing the ball to next year? Jackson Smith and Jigba, and that's it.
There is this thing coming up. I don't know if you've heard of it before. It's the NFL draft. They could pick some guys up
there.
Sure,
but again, the number of rookie wide receivers that come in, if you can even get one, the number of rookie wide receivers that come in and make an immediate impact are few and far between. Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to change the league last year, remember?
Come on, look at who his quarterback is.
Okay.
Who knew his stats would be down
the
because
Seahawks
of that.
The Seahawks quarterback is Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. I'm happy to hear that argument because they got Sam Darnold. Right? Like, the wide receivers.
Who's a better passer, Sam Darnold or the tall guy in Arizona?
I mean, last year, Sam Darnold, sure. But I also think, I don't think you're giving the credit to Kyler Murray for how much better he looked at the end of last season. I do think he looked a lot better. Does it matter all that much? I don't know. We'll find out. Josh Sweat's now a Cardinal, by the way. They added to the defense a little bit. That'll help. The point here is the number of rookie wide receivers who come in and are able to elevate a quarterback to the next, not very high. Keon Coleman did it, but that's because Josh Allen was throwing him the football. Xavier Worthy did it because, yes, he's extremely skilled, talented, and fast, but also having Patrick Mahomes getting to the ball doesn't hurt, right? Sports Flash.
I always wanted to do the Rush Limbaugh thing. Now I've done it. So, the Wofford Terriers are headed to the dance after a furious late-game rally led – I'm on vacation tomorrow, you know, so – led them past the Furman Paladins 92-85 in the Southern Conference Championship game. Wofford trailed by four with 2:34 remaining, but were led by Jackson Sevilles and his 4 3-pointers to take the win. Justin Bale added 19, and Dylan Bailey scored 15 for the Terriers, who will go dancing for the sixth time in school history with the automatic berth. Duke freshman Cooper Flagg was named the ACC's Player of the Year heading into the ACC Championship Tournament, voted on by league head coaches and media members. Louisville's Pat Kelsey was named Coach of the Year, and the Cardinals' Checky Hepburn was awarded Defensive Player of the Year. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on all the latest local and national sports news.